You were just listening to At the End of the World by American composer Derek Bermell. The work, dating from 2002, was just performed by soprano Kira Duffy, along with members of Alarmable Sound, conducted by Alan Pearson. And that was from a brand new Cantaloupe CD devoted to music by Derek Bermell, who will be my guest, or who is my guest, this morning until 11 a.m. Described by the Toronto Star as an eclectic with wide-open ears, Grammy-nominated composer and clarinetist Derek Bermell has been widely hailed for his creativity, theatricality, and virtuosity. Bermell's works draw from a rich variety of musical genres, including classical, jazz, pop, rock, blues, folk, and gospel. Hands-on experience with music of cultures around the world has become part of the fabric and force of his compositional language. Derek Bermell has received many, many commissions and a variety of awards. He currently serves as artist in residence at the Institute for Advanced Study right here in Princeton, as well as creative advisor to the American Composers Orchestra at Carnegie Hall. Derek is here, actually, I believe, for his third visit. You were here once when you first came to Princeton, and then you came for a short visit shortly thereafter during our membership drive.
Right. Right.
And he's
that was
here.
When George Crumb was here.
I think, right? George Crumb, yeah, you met George Crumb. He was here. This is going back 2009, something
back
like
in
that.
The day, I'll
back
tell
in
you.
The day. Anyway,
just remember how life was then.
Things are different,
yeah.
Aren't they? Things are different, and always more challenges in our world, and just everything is totally, totally different. But you are here again. Derek, welcome.
I'm the only constant.
You're the constant. Well, welcome, and it's great to have you here again, and congratulations on the release of your new CD, Canzonas Americanas, released on the Cantaloupe label. Now, we will be listening to other selections from your new recording, and we'll actually be giving away several copies of the CD during your visit later on. So, listeners, keep your ears on and hear the cue to call. We will be giving that cue in just a little while.
What's the cue?
Do you phone know? Number.
Oh, I see. Phone number.
The phone
cue.
Number
okay.
Will be the cue. Will be the cue to call, and we should have hopefully some fun with that.
I thought you had some goofy sound. You know,
Yeah, I guess I could get one of those wonderful sounds on my phone.
Right, ringtone.
One of my ringtones would probably do the trick, but I think we'll just give the phone number. Before we begin, though, and talk about the beginnings, the early years of the Derek Bermell story, tell us just a bit about the composition we just heard, At the End of the World.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, At the End of the World is... it's based on a poem by a wonderful writer, Nicole Krauss. A lot of people know her as a novelist. She's written about three novels.
Mm-hmm.
If I was really on the ball, I could name them for you. The first one is called Man Walks Into a Room. And she most recently wrote one called A Great House, which she's just a wonderful writer. And actually, at the time I met her, which was at Yaddo, which is an artist colony, a place where folks mm-hmm. go to just kind of retreat and work hard on their projects. And she was writing poetry at that time, and she had written this poem, At the End of the World. It was a very, very early poem that she wrote when she was probably 19 or 20. And she showed me a bunch of her poems, and this one, you know, it was kind of existentialist poetry, and so I liked it for music because it was very simple. The words were simple, but seemed to have a nice narrative, and I just kind of got an idea in my head, so I said it while I was there at Yaddo, and then I orchestrated it for a group called Dogs of Desire.
Oh,
which
yes,
is,
I know that.
You know those
yes,
guys? Yeah, this
yes,
is David
yes.
Allen Miller, the yes. conductor of the Albany Symphony, has this group. So I wrote it out for them as an orchestra piece. And the wonderful, actually, it was premiered by Barbara Hannigan, wonderful singer who lives in Amsterdam. And then Kira Duffy, who I think lives in Philadelphia, although she's maybe in Minnesota now. I don't know. But she's a wonderful opera singer, mm-hmm. Does a lot of contemporary music.
Very good. Well, Derek, let's go back to the beginning. The Derek Bermell story. I feel like I'm reading a biography when I was a kid, the Mickey Mantle story, the Yogi Berra story. But let's go to the Derek Bermell story.
It just belongs right alongside those.
That's right. There you go. Well, let's tell us a bit as to how you got interested in music and where you studied. Were your parents musical or...
Not at all. Actually, my dad was a playwright and translator, and so I grew up seeing a lot of theater. Actually, a lot more theater probably than music. Mm-hmm. And my mom had trained in theater, but actually was a very good singer. Used to sing a lot around the house. Actually, she used to make up songs about almost anything. You know, if she was. If she was watering plants, she would say, I'm watering the plants, that kind of thing. And she'd make a song. So I don't know if that got me started on the road to ruin. But I did show a proclivity for music at a very early age. Mm-hmm. And I started playing, piano very, very, very young, or just like we had a little organ in the basement, started playing that. Then I began clarinet at age 7.
And I
got very interested in that. And then I started playing in rock bands in my junior high and high school, playing a lot of jazz in high school, jazz piano, and then playing in the... And then when I got to college at Yale, I was singing in the an a cappella group. Because I didn't make the orchestra on clarinet. I was very devastated. But I wanted to do something musical. So I was, started singing a cappella. And I sang in a group called the Baker's Dozen. And actually, we came to Princeton. That's the first time I ever came to Princeton.
Mm.
We sang with one of those groups, Tiger Tones, or one of those. And then later on, I started traveling around. And of course, I was always composing from the time I was about 11. I started composing at the piano. My first piece was called A Pig, actually. It was written for the death of my guinea pig.
Oh, gosh.
It was traumatic.
Do you still have the piece?
Yes, I still have it somewhere. I still have a pig. It kind of sounds like the Moonlight Sonata, but in 5/4 time, five beats to a measure instead of...
Interesting, three. Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, who were some of the people you studied composition with along the way?
Well, I studied composition with... I didn't really study composition until I got to college. My last... couple years, I started working with a guy named Michael Tenzer, and Michael was Michael's a composer. He lives. He was just only about 10 years older than me, maybe. So he was like fresh out of graduate school and teaching at Yale, teaching undergrads. But he was great for me because he was an ethnomusicologist, and he started me on the road to getting interested in going overseas and kind of really
other
getting
cultures
deep into. Yeah, I was interested in African music, very interested. And he really encouraged me. And interestingly, I went to Israel the year after I got out of school and studied with a guy named Andre Haidu. I studied.
I know.
Yeah. I studied orchestration and composition with him. And he also really encouraged me to go to Africa because I was so interested in jazz. And I thought about, jazz being a hybrid of Western music and kind of European music and African music. I was really interested in the other side of that because I had studied jazz and studied Western classical music, but I was curious about the other side of that, the rhythmic side and the kind of contrapuntal side. Rhythmic counterpoint in jazz, and also the whole aspect of improvisation, freedom in music. And I that was really interesting for me to work with Andre. And then he was an expert in Jewish music, but of course he sent me over to, he encouraged me to go to Africa, which I did afterwards. And then I was at Michigan, University of Michigan after that with William Albright, wonderful pianist and composer, recorded all the works of Joplin, which you probably have somewhere. And William Balcom, also a great American composer. And then later on, I went to Tanglewood and worked with Henri Dutilleux, the French composer, whose birthday was yesterday.
Yes, they were doing some of his works.
And then I worked with Louis...
He must be now. He is. Is he still?
He's still alive. He's 97. He's 97.
16. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's aiming for the Elliot Carter Prize up there.
Yeah. I tell you, I couldn't believe even when Elliot Carter. I mean, of course we know, and nobody lives forever. But I was shocked. I thought he would live forever.
Oh yeah, and he was still writing.
And
I went to.
and he was still writing. I think that's
I went
what...
to a concert of his music in New York, and he had written six new works that year for in his 103rd year. So he didn't waste any time.
Writer's block he never had.
No. But Henri was he's a wonderful man, and he was, you know, very inspirational. And I was studying the following year with Louis Andriessen in Holland, and I went over to Paris every now and then to take a lesson with Dutilleux. So I had some great teachers, and I feel like I really profited from that a lot.
Very good. That's wonderful. Eric, well, let's go now. Derek, I mean.
Yeah, you can call me Eric. I respond to Eric.
No, you'll respond to everything.
Yeah,
I see you're ready to go, and that's great. But now let's go to...
coffee from Small World here.
What's that?
You know?
Yeah. Tell him, oh, gosh, smells good.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's go to a very early work of yours. We listened to a composition titled Mouletage Stomp. This goes back to 1991. Do you remember back that far?
That was back before the draft or something.
Yeah. 1991. Now, where were you studying at the time?
In 1991, I was actually teaching kids. I was teaching emotionally disturbed kids. Wait a second. I'm trying to remember. See, I can't get my own life straight. 1991. I guess by the time I wrote Mouletage Stomp, I was at Michigan, University of Michigan. It was my first year, and it was the first time anyone asked me to write a piece. I was very excited. I mean, I think maybe my friends in high school asked me to write pieces, but it was the first time that someone, they actually paid me something, a little bit of money to write a chamber piece.
Nice. And, yeah. Tell us about the title. What is the significance of the title?
The title... Mouletage, yeah.
Yes,
right. It's not a word you use every day. It just came back from the Mouletage. Actually, I think in Hungary they use it. I was talking with my teacher. I had written this kind of, you know, it's basically a piece that I was very influenced by the piece by Béla Bartók, Contrasts, the clarinet, violin, and piano piece that he wrote for Benny Goodman and Joseph Szigeti. And I was playing that piece actually at the time, and this other group asked me to write another piece for the same instrumentation. So I wrote Mouletage Stomp, and I was looking for a title, and I went to my teacher, Bill Albright, who said to me, you know, there's an all-night party, and I think you call a big party a Mouletage in Hungary. So that's when I got the idea to call it Mouletage Stomp. And interestingly, there is a stomp at the end of the piece, which I wrote in afterwards. So that was the stomp actually came from the title instead of vice versa.
I guess we can't stomp that if it's part of the piece. Forget it.
You could stomp at home.
Yeah, I could stomp at home.
Right.
Well, anyway, we listen now to Mouletage Stomp by my guest, Derek Bermel. Our violinist is Helene Hurst. Our pianist is Christopher Taylor. And the composer and my guest, Derek Bermel, is the clarinetist.
Thank you.
were just listening to Mulatash Stomp by my guest Derek Bermel, as performed by violinist Helene Holst, pianist Christopher Taylor, and the composer on clarinet, Derek Bermel. Derek, welcome back. Again, I am being joined by Derek Bermel up until 11 o'clock this morning. Well, in addition to the places mentioned earlier, you have studied in Bulgaria, in Brazil, and in Ghana. What did you study in these countries, and how have the influences from these countries entered into your music?
Well,
it's a mouthful, I know.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I guess just to say that I'm kind of the type of musician, I like to get the music into my hands, so it's one reason that I often like to go to a place to immerse myself. I mean, I feel like we're living in this culture where you can, you know, you can get on the internet and see almost any kind of music now, which is incredible. It's not, you know, it's completely different than it was 20 years ago when I wrote that piece, Mulatash Stomp. But on the other hand, there's a complexity to it because you get a lot of music out of context. You know, you can listen to all kinds of music, but you don't get the context of it, whether that means, you know, the difference between watching a rap video or being at a rap show, right. You know, which is very different, or classical music too. Being insulated and isolated from the actual live experience of the music. So for me, going to these places, you know, to Brazil, where I worked on the Kashishi with a guy named Julio Goes, or when I was in Ghana studying the xylophone with various people in the north, it's kind of, the experience of learning that kind of music in the context was... Mm. Really important for me to learn about the meaning of the music in addition to just what the notes and rhythms were. The dances they do during, you know, when they study music. In Bulgaria, I was studying the clarinet, actually. I was learning a style called the Thracian style.
Oh, okay. And that relates to a title of one of your pieces.
Yeah, Thracian Echoes, which is an orchestra piece. Actually, the Princeton Symphony did that piece a couple of years ago, and their conductor Rosin Milanov is Bulgarian, so that was a good connection.
And now, how long has it been since you have been at any of these countries?
Well, Brazil, I've gone back to quite a few times. I was in the north of Brazil twice, in Bahia, and once on the island of Itaparica, once in Salvador, and then I've been in the south in Rio. I've been in Sao Paulo, for different reasons, sometimes to do master classes or performing, and sometimes, you know, for research and just, and I usually try to tie the two together. So if I'm in a place for a period of time, I try to do something, have some kind of professional reason to be there, but also just, you know, really to explore, because a place like Brazil, it's just so musical. It's there's so much wonderful music and art and dance and literature and just so many things to get to know. So I love languages also. So I love learning languages and kind of trying to
In
learn
fact,
languages.
You speak quite a few.
I speak a few. I mean, you know, of varying degrees. So a certain language will be rusty, and another one will kind of take its place. But I like it. I love the way language ties into, you know, the sound of language, the sound of the voice, the kind of cadence and flow of language. Mm. Even apart from the meaning of the words, sometimes I really just like the sound of the words. You know, and I use that in my music sometimes too.
Very good. Well, we are going to go now to another selection from your new CD on the Cantaloupe label. We are going to hear the title selection, Canzonas Americanas, dating from 2010. Now, Derek, this piece was written almost 20 years after the selection we just heard. Do you feel your style has changed during the last 20 years? And if so, how?
Well, I mean, it's hard to say, really, because I don't have any perspective.
Things
on
just
it.
Evolve.
Things evolve, and also I like to think that in every piece I approach music a little bit differently. I mean, a lot of the composers I really admire, like Ligeti or Beethoven. I mean, even for example, they every new piece they write, it's almost like there's a new reason to write it. So I try to have that same spirit in when I'm writing, and I hope that the pieces evolve. This particular piece was written for the LA Philharmonic. It was for their Green Umbrella series, and Gustavo Dudamel, the conductor, had asked me to write something that had to do with both North and South American music, tying it together. So that's what this piece was. It was kind of an amalgamation of different influences from America, from both Americas.
Well, why don't you take over and tell us a little more about this? It's a four movement, a work in four movements.
Right.
And the movements are titled, a little bit of the inspiration, I guess, if you will, on each of the movements.
Oh, sure. Well, the first one, let's see, I have to look at the record. El Dude is the first movement. And the idea of that was, well, I actually wrote this for, I dedicated it to John Adams, who's been kind of a mentor and has conducted some of my music with the LA Phil. And I, you know,